was gonna mention that. I was like, this is another like thrift store find that just happened to fit in my cup.
Is it the kind that just like folds out and then turns flat?
It does, yeah. So if I ever need to like crash here, I can now.
Or take a like a siesta.
Like a power nap in between my day. I
used to sleep in one of these, and I guess because I'm heavier, I moved to the edge, so the thing just completely flipped over.
That would still happen to me anyways. Yeah, like I'm so bound to doing very clumsy things.
Yeah, you know, you're just I toss and turn around when I sleep, but
yeah.
Welcome back everybody to another episode of Orale Bo Heights. Today I am in City Terrace, joined by Ellie of Earthy Corazon. Introduce yourself, Ellie.
Hi, thank you so much. My name is Ellie, and I'm with Earthy Corazon, based here in City Terrace.
Yes, thank you so much for, you know, being down to be interviewed and for hosting and inviting me to your brand new business space.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. I'm so excited to, like, share this space with friends that can come by.
Yeah.
And, because it's finally getting to its, like, completed form, you know.
It's almost ready for the viewing public.
It is.
And it smelled so lovely walking in here. I was just like taking like 5 seconds to just stand there in the middle of the room and smell everything.
Everyone says that when they walk in, they're like, it smells so good. Or they'll walk by the door and I don't even notice it because I'm so desensitized to the smell.
But, you know, I'll tell you this. I think part of that, too, is because, you know, we're so surrounded by unpleasant smells that sometimes when we get something nice, it's like, wow. Yeah, that's the good stuff right there.
It's true. You know, I've had a lot of, like, neighbors walking by and they're like, oh, qué bonito, huele. And they're like, and then they ask me like what I'm doing, and I say I'm making candles, and they say how beautiful it is. Like, it's nice to see something beautiful in the community.
Hell yeah. That's always, again, dope to see that in the neighborhood. What are some of the businesses that we're around right now? Because this area of City Terrace you're in is amazing for the murals and like the culture that's here.
Oh yes, exactly. I love City Terrace, you know, because it is like the, you know, the home of like Chicano mural art, mm-hmm. from like back
Willy since Heron. Like
the 70s. Yes, yeah. And like there's just so many beautiful murals out here, and there's like really old ones from like the 70s. Like there's an Asco mural, like, yeah, in one of the alleys here, and then there's recent ones like the Vanessa Guillen one.
Oh, that's right, the one by Juan Solis, I think, right?
Yes. Yeah. So it's a beautiful city just because you can see all the public art here. And so I love to walk around in this neighborhood.
Yeah, there's a lot of other good smells here, too, with all the restaurants cooking.
Oh, yeah. There's the Restaurant Barrio, which is like an Italian,
Mexican-owned
restaurant. Yeah, it's really beautiful, and their food is great.
I've been to Terraza,
too. Yeah, it's they have really great brunch, too, on the weekends. And I've been coming to La Terraza for a long time, since I was, like, a student here at Cal State LA.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's better than, like, going to Starbucks.
It is, yeah. And because Starbucks doesn't have Café de Olla, so.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm just waiting for the day I see, like, some social media post saying, they're making Café de Olla at Starbucks now.
Oh, no.
they
fuck that one up.
they got pumpkin spice for white people. Then they'll be like, oh, for Latino Heritage Month, we're going to introduce Café de Olla.
They would. They'll appropriate anything they could.
They will. Oh, my God. Wait, all right. I'm getting derailed now. But it's realization about Starbucks. But We met each other not too long ago in the summer.
Yeah.
Through a mutual friend. Shout out to Tiff, who, yes, I also get to work with.
Love you, Tiff.
And we met when Tiff reached out to you to lead a self-care
It was like a wellness workshop. Wellness,
yes, yeah. A wellness workshop for youth that the TIFF helps organize at East Yard. So tell folks a little bit about what happened that day.
Yeah, so I was invited by TIFF, who is like one of my good homegirls, and she does amazing work organizing youth at the East Yard communities, yeah, for environmental justice. And they had reached out to me because a lot of the youth that she organizes with have been seeking like other forms of workshops, you know, not yet, to take care of themselves, you know, because a lot of these youth do a lot for their families, and they're, you know, they're doing a lot at school, mm-hmm, and also work, like, you know, doing the work for environmental justice in the communities.
Yeah.
So they raised funds to have these other workshops to tend to themselves. And so TIFF invited me to lead this workshop on wellness. And it was really awesome because there was like a group of like 20 mm-hmm youth there, mm-hmm, from all over. It was like East LA, Long Beach,
Bell Gardens, mm-hmm, Bell. Yeah, Southeast LA.
So many folks. And we were at Compton Creek outside, and we had like blankets out in the grassy, mm-hmm, area.
It was a nice day, even though it was really hot.
It was hot, yeah. And it didn't start out that way. It was like cloudy, and then, you know, we had set up everything for the workshop. We went over some like things that we all like to do for self-care, mm-hmm, you know. And self-care can look like anything, you know. It could be like going on TikTok, it could be watching TV, it could be reading a book, it could be taking a bath, you know. And so we all were like just talking about what we like to do. And then I was able to show them some of the things that I do, you know, with Earth y Corazón, about the tools that I make for self-care. And they were able to make their own essential oil, yeah, aromatherapy rollers, and they all had a lot of fun. And it was such a cute event. Yeah, all the teens got into it, and I was kind of worried they weren't. I was like, oh, they're going to think it's lame. But
I think that's natural.
Yeah, I know.
Youth, that hesitation of like, I'm just going to present it. I don't know if they're going to like vibe with it.
Yeah, and they were like into it. They were like all like excited to show their different oils that they made.
The different blends, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And to like learn about like the different scents and like how it like can affect their mood, and like how they can use that throughout their day to kind of like find a moment of like mindfulness. And, you know, I was so happy and like honored to like be able to show them a little something, you know. And I hope that they can keep that like in their toolbox, you know, throughout, yeah, their days too.
Yeah, I mean, We went through our own thing, right, when we were younger.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the comparison wouldn't be fair because things are so different now for youth that I wouldn't know how to function with, like, access to social media and a phone, like, if I was growing up. I think, yeah, that would just, like, be something toxic and negative for me.
I know, yeah. And they have to deal with, like, you know, different pressures than you and I had to experience growing up, and that doesn't minimize like their experiences either, you know, mm-hmm, because they still, and because a lot of these students are like from working class, like immigrant families, yep, like the load is even bigger and heavier, you know, because they have to kind of like also like carry the responsibilities of like a household as well.
Yeah, a lot of pressure. So, mm-hmm, I'm glad that you know, TIFF and the other organizers were able to get that workshop going and to support the youth and like chilling out for like an afternoon, you know, and then coming home smelling really nice.
I know, for real. I was like, oh, please, like, show your mom, like, yeah, my abuelita, you know. And so it was really cute, and I'm so glad we were able to connect that day.
Yeah, I think the best part of that day was when, aside, you know, from going home with like a essential oil roller and learning something new in the experience, was when the cat showed up.
Oh my god, yeah. The cat was like wanting to hang out with us the whole time. They attended the workshop, first, yeah, of all. They were learning with us about like all the different forms of aromatherapy, and no nos querían dejar en paz con las tortas.
He was getting all the pets, all the jamón. It's a cat that I think, if I understand it correctly, lives at the park.
Oh yeah,
and folks just take care of it.
They just they know they're taken care of. They're like, oh, what's going on here? They know that there's gonna be a party, something happening at that park.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
But that's actually how I got the idea to have you on the show. I saw what you were doing. You know, I was in the back taking pictures and eating tortas, getting out of the way. But I was like, it really clicked on me, like how you were presenting all of this to the students. You know, you weren't doing it in a way where like you're the expert and you're talking down to them, right? You're sharing information with them. You're like showing them this is how I do it. This is how I learned. And it became almost as basic as like 1 + 2 = 3, right? Mm-hmm. Where you combine these different things and this is what you can get.
Yeah.
So I started really thinking about it because in my own, you know, like life, when I started having more critical thoughts of the kind of products I consume, mm-hmm. that also goes into like body care, right?
Yeah.
What we do for deodorant, for shampoo, for creams, for face soaps, all that stuff. And like many men, like many cis hetero men, it's mm-hmm. like, cool, let me just go to Target and get the 2-pack of deodorant that's the cheapest.
Yeah.
Because I get more deodorant for my money.
Yes.
Don't even think about like a face wash. Been using Head and Shoulders since like my dad told me, like, yeah, here's Head and Shoulders, wash your hair.
Yeah.
You know, never really giving a thought to any of that, but as I've gotten older and I've had these conversations with friends because I've seen them change their lifestyles for one reason or another, mostly mm-hmm. out of necessity, right, from allergic reactions to things as we get older.
Definitely.
It's the really getting into that aspect of what goes outside of my body, right? So yeah. It started with like the easiest way to kind of get into that kind of stuff, which is replacing my deodorant from like just like the generic stuff,
the aluminum free kind.
Yeah,
I remember like when I even did that too. It was just like I was kind of scared because I was like, I don't want to smell. But you know, once you start being more conscious of like the products we're consuming, you know, you really start to pay attention about like the chemicals. Cause I mean, like, for example, like the kind of work that Eastside Yard, you know, is doing for environmental justice, like we start paying attention about the chemicals mm-hmm. that are, mm-hmm. you know, in our soil, like things that are happening in the water. And then we start to notice, you know, what's happening like to the products that we're consuming.
Yeah.
So it's all like interconnected, you know?
Yeah, you just got to look at it closely.
Mm-hmm.
So
just look at it closely.
Yeah. So I swapped out my deodorant. I like the brand that I'm at with now. I'm not going to plug them because that's free advertising. But like many folks, right? It's like I saw somebody using it. I asked them, oh, like, how did you like it? You know, was there any like reactions to it or anything like that? And I was like, cool, thanks for sharing. Let me give it a try. And yeah. I've just been using it from then on.
Yeah, and you just like you find the ones that you love, the ones that you enjoy, and then you know you stick with them. And I also noticed like when people started making a transition to like more conscious, like you know, things that they were putting on their body. Yeah. and like all the skincare, body care, just like what their lifestyle changes also is related to like the types of forms that they were taking, like the way that they were taking care of themselves. Because, you know, I've noticed also like in like my lifetime, you know, like how my nervous system is reacting to like my environment, to like the things that I'm dealing with, you know, like just even like dealing with like anxiety or dealing with like these other kind of forms of mental health, you know, and it's just kind of like, what can we use as well to kind of like calm down for a minute, you know, something to like not only like feel good on our bodies, but also like actually like there's some intention there, you know, like something that can give you a moment of like relaxation.
Yeah, you set the vibe. Because mm-hmm. I mean, if I think about it, do I want my room or my house to smell like laundry or random things, or do I want it to smell nice?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that's something different than I think, you know, we probably, our parents, you know, went through in their life, you know, they didn't have to like think about relaxation, self-care,
what's mental health, you know, had that opportunity
like, what kind of ingredients are in my deodorant and lotion?
We're not reading the ingredient list in the Fabuloso.
No. You know.
It's cheap and it cleans. Yes. Yeah, that's all I need to know.
Exactly. Vaporú por todo, you know?
Yeah.
But, so that's also like a different, like, it's a whole different generation of folks who are like being more conscious and mindful, you know, because we are like incorporating things que nos hace bien, you know,
yeah,
and showing our parents too.
Of course, the more I noticed for myself, right? By extension, I started noticing it around me with friends también, mm-hmm. and noticing that there is a need out there for like sustainably made with like intention body products and self-care products that a lot of folks are looking for now, that if they can't find, maybe they'll I guess, you know, do what they have to at Target or something else.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I've noticed that too, and I feel like, you know, because in the ways that I have like found the things that I love to wear and like the things that I like using on my day-to-day, mm-hmm. it's like all of it is really, some of it can be very wasteful. And, like, I started to notice, like, about the plastic that I was, like, you know, having to recycle. Yeah. And, you know, these are all, like, small ways of, like, being more eco-friendly. But even in the small ways, like, I know at the end of the day, like, the biggest, like, villains to waste and like environmental like catastrophes are like corporations, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
So I never like to subscribe to the agenda of like, oh, we all have to, you know, change our whole lifestyle to like be able to accomplish this little amount of environmental justice, because the real villains out there, yeah, are not like the masses of people. It's like this small percentage of like corporations and so forth. But those are still ways that we can like be more mindful in the way that we're connecting to like nature and to Mother Earth, you know? Because even if we know that there's a lot of environmental catastrophes, it's like, you know, there is still ways that we can be more mindful about the way that we are, like, affecting and creating impact here.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. When you started talking about that, like, the first thing that came to my mind is Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah.
And their legacy of, like, their talcum powder and products just, like, literally giving people cancer and poisoning them.
Yeah.
But it's, like, one of those things that so you don't. I mean, if I was going to have kids, like, it would be, like, one of those things. Like, oh, yeah, I need talcum powder. But I never asked, why do I need talcum powder?
Yeah.
Right? Why does it need to be from, like, Johnson & Johnson?
Yeah. Yeah. And these are the things that, like, we're starting to question, you know?
Yeah.
They're starting to really come to the light about, like, what is, like, the things that we, like, always seen around us and we've always used. And it's, like, but, you know, starting to question it, you know?
Yeah, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself a little bit. So I can circle it back and we can learn a little bit more about you. So you mentioning you grew up in East LA, City Terrace?
I've been in City Terrace for the past 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I've lived here for a long time. I went to Cal State LA and I also went to ELAC.
Hey, Husky.
Yes.
I spent 7 years there.
You know, it's a journey. Like, I tell everybody, like, the school is a journey. There's no rush.
No, well, not when you're paying for it out of pocket.
Yeah, and then also if you're trying to figure shit out, it's like, take your time.
Yeah. Well, I spent time there, and I'm not going to say that time was wasted, except it wasn't wasted in math class.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Well, thankfully, math wasn't the big deal. It just you know, even being a college student, like having the balance of work and going to school.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It makes it longer. But I grew up in the San Fernando Valley.
Hey, in Van Nuys. Nice.
Yeah, in the 818.
You still have 818 on your number.
Yes. Yeah, my cell phone, it's been an old phone, so people can still hit me up that I know for a long time. But I grew up in Van Nuys, and so I moved to East L.A. When I was 20, when I started going to Cal State L.A., and I never moved back. And the only reason I was able to make the move to live in this area was because when my abuelitos first migrated from Mexico here, Boyle Heights was their landing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and so we grew up with, like, our grandparents, like, home in Boyle Heights, right off of, like, 4th and Soto. And
oh, wow, right in the mix.
Yes, and it was just, like spending time with my grandparents was, like, the epitome, like, the funnest, like, summers for me, and, like, the weekends, and, like, I never wanted to leave, you know, because abuelitos offer a different softness than your own. Like, they let you get away with anything. So
you're just there visiting.
Yeah, I know. And then they treat you with, like, you know, lo que quieras de comer, whatever you want. Yes. So I spent a lot of time with my abuelitos, and some of my best childhood memories are in Boyle Heights, like going to Evergreen Park and going to, like, the Chinese food spot off of 4th Street. You know, it's still there. Like, and going to Hollenbeck Park as well. And so, like, in the church that's off of 4th as well.
Yeah, St. Mary's.
Yeah, St. Mary's. So a lot of my, like, the childhood that I like to remember is attached to this area. And so when I first decided to leave the valley, I knew that this was the only place I could feel that connection, not only to my grandparents, because they have both passed already. My abuelito is actually there in, he's laying in Evergreen Cemetery. Yeah, so I get to visit him sometimes. And it's the only place that I knew as familiar, you know. Because every time I came to L.A., me norteaba. I didn't know how to, like, get around downtown. I didn't know anything about, like, yeah, like, all the different streets and how they, like, change.
Yeah.
But, like, here in, like, East L.A., I knew all the spots to go eat at. I was like, I know all the, like, places to avoid and the places that, like, the good panaderias and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're on 4th, so you got, like, the bakery down the street.
Yeah, oh, my gosh.
Get some French conchas.
I know, the mini conchas there. Oh, my goodness.
I love them, not just because they're fresh and delicious, but I appreciate the smaller portion.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to eat a whole concha anymore.
And there was times I would have to come all the way to, like, here to pick up, like, our favorite carne asada. So it was just like, yeah, there's a lot of good food.
What were you studying when you went to ELAC? Were you just trying to get the general ed and transfer?
Yeah, I was just taking I was trying to finish, like, my AA classes. One of the things that I did take at ELAC, because I took classes all over the community college system. I was like, wherever I can take classes,
whatever you needed.
Yes, I was like that, like, person. I was like, I'll take this class here, I'll take that class there. And some of the classes that I took at ELAC were very intentional. And I took Chicano studies there and
101.
Yes.
Yeah.
And political science. I was like, if I'm gonna learn about these, like, things, I better learn it, you know, like, where I feel like it's actually more, it hits home, you know?
Yeah, I took the same Chicano studies classes, because a lot of the 101 classes double dip as different requirements that you can check. So I was like, oh, why not? Like, I'm not trying to be in another English class.
Yeah, it's true. And when I transferred to Cal State LA, I studied sociology with my emphasis on inequalities and diversity.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I had a lot of fun, like, taking all of those classes. And it was during, like, a very, like, significant time too, because that was like when the Black Lives Matter movement was like uprising. Like it was definitely like picking up, and I remember a lot of demonstrations and protests happening like on our campus. So it was like, I felt like all of that like was a lot of momentum, you know, to be learning about like all of the social, cultural, political environments we're existing in.
Yeah, I think for a lot of folks, myself included, right, we just kind of dismiss local schools in the neighborhood, like ELAC and Cal State LA, as like, yeah, it's just the neighborhood school, you know.
Yeah.
Not much is going on there. People just, it's like a transfer situation. Just come in, get what you need, and get out.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Some people have told me, they're like, oh, that's like where the food's gone wild goes to school. It's like Cal State LA. I'm like, shut up. And yes, it's true.
Who told you that? Who told you that? Do you know what they used to call ELAC back in the day? Somebody told me this. I think it was my journalism teacher that might have told me this, or somebody that was older than me. But back in the day, like 70s, 80s, probably the 90s too, they used to call ELAC Taco Tech.
No way. Oh my God. That one's bad.
I know, because it's in East LA and a bunch of Mexicans are going there.
Oh my God. Yeah, my uncle went to ELAC too, and he studied art, and he's actually, he did murals back in his day too. So like, you know, but he never told me it being called Taco Tech.
I mean, no, I think back then nobody was proud of it. I think it was just more of a put down from everybody else. Yeah. But I was like, that's fucking hilarious. I really wish they had a culinary department.
I know.
You could actually learn how to make tacos. what was the next step after you were done with school?
After I left and graduated from Cal State LA, I started working at a nonprofit. Mm. And so the nonprofit that I was working at was called Echo Parenting and Education, and that was based in Echo Park, which was, I was just excited, you know, bright eyed from like graduating school, and I was like, oh my gosh,
I got a job,
I'm working with community, like all of this, like those values were like very important for me. You know, when you come fresh out of college, like you're willing to work the most, the most.
You know, out of necessity sometimes.
Yes. And so that nonprofit really changed my perspective on many things, because a lot of what we were doing was teaching classes and hosting workshops around nonviolent parenting.
Oh,
and
ooh, that's intense.
Yeah, and also trauma-informed care. Oof. Like for schools, or just for like facilitators, or like just people that like work with community, and like how to have that trauma-informed lens, you know, when you're moving in this world. But definitely the nonviolent parenting classes taught me a lot, because I mean, you learned so much about like feelings and needs and like conflict resolutions and communication styles.
Yeah.
And so those are kind of like things that I was just like, whoa, I didn't grow up knowing any of this. So it,
quite the opposite, probably. Yeah.
No communication, all the conflict styles. Like, but so after like working there for a couple of years, and I, you know, I was really happy with the work. It just, you know, that sometimes nonprofits, you know, llegas hasta aquí.
Yeah.
And because the capacity is very limited, funding is very limited. But ever since then, I feel like I took that as a life experience, because now when I move with the like within this world, and even in all of my relationships, I carry that knowledge, you know.
Yeah, it's, that really changes your perspective.
It does. It really does. It teaches you something. And so I like to kind of like practice that at home. I was able to like share so much with like my mom, you know. Mm. Like, so
how did your mom take that? Like, were you guys really just like explaining things, what you were doing at your job?
Well, thankfully, a lot of the, like, we had nonviolent like parenting classes in Spanish. So
So
I was able to learn a lot of the language also like in Spanish.
Yeah, yeah, like the technical stuff. Yeah,
yeah. And so I was able to take a lot of like the worksheets with me and also like and just kind of like softly like bringing that up to like in casual conversations around the
not
dinner
like,
table.
Hey, I need to talk to you.
Yeah, it wasn't an intervention. Like, you know, trying to bring up some stuff, you know.
So remember when you baptized me without permission?
And so I was able to teach her some, like, other things and like, show her. And also, like, and people notice it. Sometimes it's not even about, like, explaining it. People just notice that you're doing things differently. Mm-hmm. And that in mm-hmm. itself is like influential within your family or within your community or with your friends, you know?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you used to react this way to that, but now I see that you're doing it differently. And that kind of like also is como like it creates something that people will react to it.
Yeah,
and feel influenced
yeah.
by it.
I had an experience like that when I started using gender neutral language.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, why are you saying they, even in the beginning I was like, y'all sounds weird, it sounds like you're from Texas.
I've heard that too, like people are like, are you from the South? It's like no. I use gender neutral terms also for my cats, and so sometimes I'm like, oh, they're hiding right now, and then they're like, oh, how many are there? And I'm like, just one, but you know, I'm practicing. Like, it's those ways that you can practice it at home.
Yes,
once you start using like those pronouns as well, like
it just becomes secondhand nature. Mm-hmm. You don't think about it anymore.
Yeah.
So I like to alternate as I learned more and started using it more in just everyday life. I'll use y'all or like go like Dr. Nick and say like, hi, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And just pop into the room.
Yes. Yeah. And people notice that and they're like, they can take that, you know, they'll be like, oh, I can. Yeah. Like those are like the subtle ways people can learn too.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So you came away with a lot of resources and tools from that nonprofit job.
Yeah.
But I can kind of assume maybe you were burned out by the time you were, like, ready to leave.
I think I was ready for, like, something new at that point. And so I worked at another nonprofit based in Koreatown, but it services all of L.A.
Mm.
And it was the League of Women Voters of Los Angeles.
Oh.
Yeah, and they're a nonprofit that is nonpartisan, but their whole mission is for voter education and resources.
Yeah, which I think we're all over at this point.
Yeah, I know. We're all done. Like, just get it over with.
Are they still counting the ballots?
And so that was a whole different adventure.
Oh,
because,
my gosh.
I think that was also during the time of the Trump like presidency.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. So we were doing a lot of work during that time to like just get like voters to turn out,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
or to just like inform folks about like different propositions, you know.
I've done that door knocking work.
Yes. Yeah. So it felt really nice to like work and like be face to face with like folks in the neighborhood, you know, especially like here, like in Boyle Heights. I also did a lot of, at that time I was managing like local mini elections for housing developments, like throughout LA.
Oh, the apartment buildings.
Yeah. Like, so we were able to like host these like little elections for like these big, big housing developments. And so that they can elect like their own, like, board for neighbors so that they can decide what they want to do with their funds or with, you know, like activities that they want to implement. And so it was really cool like to be able to kind of like host these like elections and I learned a lot about like the different forms of like just democracy here in LA. One of the interesting things was like we did interviews of like a different council members of all the different council members.
Oh, wow.
And I remember the day that we were supposed to go originally to interview the council member for Boyle Heights. Who was it?
At the time, probably Weezer.
Yeah. It was Weezer. And we had to reschedule because we couldn't make it. But we were glad we did, because that day was the day he got busted in his office.
Oh,
yes, snaps. Under investigation. So I was like, kind of glad that day didn't work out for the council member.
Didn't work
interviews.
Out for him either. Yo, it's been wild reading how, as his case, you know, gets pushed back for delays or whatever because of the legal process, and you know how people can object to shit.
I know.
If you have the right lawyer, they can pay for it. His extended networks are starting to rat him out and be like, you know what, this is a sinking ship, and I'm going to grab my life vest and just, I'll see you later. Good luck.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's what happens when you're, you know, like, doing shady shit to, like, you know, to fuck people over.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, no sympathy lost there.
Yeah.
So, with the electoral work and everything, when did you start getting into what we are like in now, right?
Yeah.
The intention for you to be very purposeful and just really diligent about creating your own self-care products, you know, Bath Body Works and all that kind of stuff.
There's a meme I recently saw that was like, back in body hurts. Like, that's actually more like it.
yes.
So I was still working at the nonprofit during the pandemic, when the pandemic first started.
Oh, no way. Yes. Wow, so you were there for a minute.
Yeah, I was there for a couple years. And during that time is also when I started to explore more of like healing practices for myself. Because, you know, when you're working a nonprofit for like many years, you need to learn when to like take care of yourself, when to rest, when to do all of these things for yourself so that you don't burn out, you know, because there's so much burnout that can happen when you're doing so much work for the community. And, you know, it's very important work, but sometimes it could feel like a lot, you know. It could be, and then it's a whole different complex as well that, you know, we can get into it another time.
Oh, that's another show. That's probably a Tumblr in there too. But as two folks who have been working in the nonprofit industry for such a long time, I sometimes kind of perceive this aspect of that work of like self-care and being intentional and taking care of ourselves as sometimes kind of just being, what was I trying to say? It's the opposite of being intentional. So it's just kind of like more for performance.
Like a performative way.
Yeah, you're just faking the funk.
Yeah. And
I say that not to be dismissive of anybody
and
what they do
solid.
For themselves, but being around enough people who work in nonprofits, you know, I'm like, I guess, like I've noticed that it's become more and more common, more and more talked about, more and more discussed, and more energy and sometimes money being put into that to the point where I'm just seeing it as it being commodified. Like now self-care is another business.
Oh, for sure. Know? Yeah, no, it's so true. And like, I think that's a really good point to bring up, because self-care is a whole nother industry that is like, you know, it's blowing up, and it has been blowing up. And then, you know, and the nonprofits, they'll find new lingo to use, and they'll run with it, you know. And if they can get funds for it, you know. But that's also something that I had started to do a lot of research about, too. It's like, you know, who are the people behind the self-care industry? Who does it reflect?
New word
to?
Learned. Self-care industry.
Yes. And like, I just started to notice that like a lot of it was like, you know, white folks, you know.
Meet your Karen.
Yes. And like, and a lot of it was like, a lot of these practices are like seen with like, you know, a lot of like cultural appropriation happening.
Yes, speak and on it.
So, and also it's very like, these are big corporations as well. And sometimes what people don't notice is that like, you know, you could be buying something that seems intentional, but then you look at the actual company that it's under and it could be something else. It could be Johnson & Johnson.
Most of the time it is, though, right? An umbrella company.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, folks, I had a moment when I loved drinking Topo Chico, and then I realized it was just owned by Coke now.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, they got me. You know, I like it. Dude, maybe I'll drink something else. Maybe I'll drink some of that French mineral water. I don't know. Or maybe a Jarritos. But
yes,
it's one of those things that, right, you love something and then it does get co-opted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's also like another thing that I was like, you know, I want to make self-care accessible, but in a way that doesn't seem pretentious, because it could be that mm-hmm. way, you know. That's why, like, when you talk about those things, it's like how like self-care can be anything. It's as simple as like cooking for yourself some like nopalitos with frijoles and tortillas hechas a mano, like that. Yeah. Is like, that will fill your soul, you
some
know.
Some cafe de olla on the side.
Yes.
Not from Starbucks.
So, and those are like just very simple ways of like doing all of these like little things. And that's how I started creating Earthy Corazon, was because I realized around like the holidays.
Yeah. Which is right now.
Yes.
For us, if you're listening to this in real time and not like a year later.
During the holidays, I remember feeling very like anxious and stressed, because during those times, like when we do the gift giving, oh my goodness.
Just like, hyper consumerism.
Yes. And it just, it like literally sucked the soul out of me to go
probably
to a
money
mall.
Too. And
speak on that. Like going to a mall, trying to find a gift for someone, like your family member, and then not even knowing what to give them, because most of the time, like they already have everything they need.
Yeah.
Or you don't know generally like what they need, and you don't want to buy them like something que se va a echar la basura.
You know, come home and like give somebody an air fryer, be like, I already have one.
So that like was really stressful. And then like at that time I was still working at the nonprofit job. So like I really didn't even have the time to kind of like go scrambling, looking for gifts.
No.
Just for the fact of like having to present something, because like it's not like, you know, it's not good manners to show up empty handed, you know? So
Yeah.
I was like, I started to become very intentional with that. And I was like, what can I create at home that would feel like an authentic gift, that I'm like thinking about that person? And I'm like, so I just started making like small batches, velitas of like oil rollers, cremas, natural deodorants. Mm. I was like, let me create something that smells good, but I know that this person will use it to take care of themselves, you know.
So did you already have an understanding of how to make those things, or is this something you had to learn from like no knowledge to learning as you went?
Oh, it was no knowledge. That like when I started making those like holiday gifts for like my family and friends, that was just like experimenting
oh,
in like
wow.
the kitchen with one of my homegirls, and we're just kind of like, let's just make all of our gifts. Like, we had, like, we would take one Saturday and be like...
That's dope. You had somebody to do it with.
Yeah, so we would, like, teach each other. And, like, I took things that, like, I learned from, like, hood herbalism.
Oh,
like, shout out to
Veranese.
Yes, yeah. So, like, I was taking things that I was already, like, dipping my toes into, like, going to mujeres circles and, like, all of that, like, knowledge share as well of, mm-hmm. like, being intentional and, like, ways that we can tend to, like, our spirit and, like, our body. So, like, I was using some of that, like, herbalism work as well to inform the like those gift makings. And I mean, those gifts didn't, they were like, you know, handwritten and everything.
Oh my God, I want to be your friend.
They definitely don't look like what I have now. Like, I guess.
Mason jar.
Yeah, like
a mason jar. A cup of like Doña Maria mole.
And they look really nice. You know, like I just packaged it up, like wrapped it with some like eucalyptus or like lavender strands and like just gave that to like all my friends and family. And they were like so like in love with those gifts. And so me and my friend were doing that for like the next holiday. Something will come up. Ooh. Or like birthdays will come up. And I was like, oh, like I can create that. Like I can just make them something.
You already have like a foundation going.
Yeah. And so I remember around like 2019, like some of my friends were like, you should like make a little store. I feel like people would like to buy this like around the holidays. Mm. Like they would like to kind of give this to somebody else as well.
I'm not a fan of that.
And so,
because I was like, when somebody tells you to do something, it's like, I appreciate that you like what I'm doing, that you enjoyed it, right? And that you think that more people should know about it or buy it or, you know, learn about it. But I was like, I'm not going to tell somebody to open up a business. That's like,
I know. I'm like, okay, like, you're just going to, like, tell them to,
yeah,
like,
because it's so easy.
Yeah, and I'm like, it's easy for someone to say, you know?
I mean, no offense. You know, it's coming from a good place.
No, it was like, it's just, it was really nice to hear that. But also, like, I always dismissed it, too, because I was just like, you know, like.
The other part of it, too, and I have this energy with the podcast, is money.
Yeah.
Money really makes things different.
It does. It really does. And, you know, when you, like, have to, like, buy and, like, you know, create, like, get, like, an inventory of things, it's just, like, it seemed like a lot. And I was just kind of always, like, I, like, would laugh about it. I would just giggle it away, like, you know.
I mean,
because
it can
like
be really easy to get overwhelmed, right? Like, hypothetically speaking, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you decided one day you're going to start doing this as your main source of income. Does your house have enough space to, like, store all the materials, packing materials?
Yeah.
Do you have a plug, right, that you can maybe get a discount and buy in bulk and all these kind of things, right?
Yeah, and those are things that I had no idea about, like, from the beginning, you know. But I just, once 2020 happened, I was like, you know what, let me do this, like, and then I signed up for, like, a market because I was, like, you know, I had already made, like, a batch of candles, and these were, like, candles that I was just going to have at home, but I was, like, you know, if I sign up for the market, like, maybe it can go well, and, like, I could have, like, a little, like, supplemental, like,
it's income. A great way to start.
And so it kind of gave me, like, the fire to, like, create something, and so when the pop-up market was going to happen was in March of 2020.
I remember
they giving us an email saying the market was canceled because of a national emergency. Yep. And so I was like, oh, what do I do with, like, this small batch of candles? I was just
I guess
like,
I'm going to get lit.
I'm like, we're going to start praying now.
It's going to smell
so
good here for a while.
I was like, okay, like, I was brainstorming, like, what can I do now since I have all this time here at home and I have these velitas. And I was, my intention was just to try out this market.
Yeah.
But I started to, like, look around and I went into Big Cartel. So I opened up my own website.
Folks, you know, most big companies are Big Cartel, Etsy. Even now, folks, like, do their own thing on, like, Facebook Marketplace and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So that worked out for me. Like, I just was like, let me put some things up in on a website. And thankfully, during that time, it got really good. Like people were receiving it really well, and they were supporting, and they were ordering things online because everybody was ordering things online.
Oh, yes. Yeah. How did you get the word out about it?
I started an Instagram first. Nice. For it. Yeah, and all my friends started following it.
So you shared it from your personal one, and then kind of folks started following from
there. Yeah, it was really sweet because it started, like, you know, from one Instagram page, and then I shared it, and then friends shared it, and then, and at this point, it seems like friends mm-hmm. have shared it or have gifted one of my candles to someone. Yeah,
I love doing that. Yeah. I love supporting somebody doing, you know, awesome work because I love what they're doing, but then because I can buy it and share it with somebody.
Yes, exactly. And that's, like, the vibe that was happening during that, like, first year. It was like,
yeah, we're all at home, might as well smell nice.
We were all, like, at home, and then people were like, I'm thinking about this person, or like, let me buy something thoughtful for that someone. And they would visit my website and then, like, buy something, write a message, and I would send it. So I was, like, kind of like the middleman of, like, the messenger of, like, good energy. Yeah. I was like, I loved it. It was like all the birthday wishes, all, like, the like happy, like, anniversary for this, or thinking of you, love you kind of messages.
Think of me when you smell this.
So I felt like I was being a bridge to, like, folks that were distant from each other, like loved ones.
Wow, that's so dope.
Yeah, because so many of us couldn't see our family members, and we couldn't see our friends, and we couldn't see, we couldn't be in the same, like, presence, you know, of each other because of COVID. So I felt like what I was creating was, like, bridging people and, like, sending them little love notes and sending them, like just, like, very, like, intentional gifts to, like, hey, like, I know you're going through a lot right now. Like, here's something to take care of yourself.
I'm thinking of you. Mm-hmm. Man, that'd be, I don't know. I mean, now if somebody gives me a candle, I'll be like, what does it smell like? Right? You know, because I think we're all learning what we enjoy. And I mean, there's, like, I've seen candles where, like, they smell like bacon. I was like, I don't want my house to smell like bacon. I know it's, like, maybe, like, something you buy at Spencer's Gifts or something, right? But
it's a novelty.
Yeah, but it, like, there's probably a bunch of chemicals in that bacon.
Yeah, you can't find a bacon one from here, though.
Hey, it may be back here in the workshop cooking up some bacon, putting it in the candle wax.
Bacon bits as, like, the, like, little, like, decorations on top.
That's where my mind goes.
Oh my gosh.
But as you know, things were picking up, you made the Instagram, folks started vibing with you.
Yeah.
Can I assume in asking that you were doing all of this at home?
Yeah, I was doing, I first started in my bedroom. I was making candles in my bedroom, and it smelled really good in there, but I was making a mess. And then I moved into the kitchen, so I started making candles in the kitchen. Then one of my roommates moved out, and there was, like, a small spare room available that was, like, kind of like an office, little kid's room. So I started renting that out and using that as, like, my workspace. And eventually I was there for, like, 2 years working. Eventually I had to move out because I didn't have enough space. Boxes were taking, over the whole house.
Yeah, all your inventory. Yeah,
the inventory was increasing. And so I knew I couldn't sustain it anymore at home. And there was also, like, a moment where, like, the divide between home and work was too blurry. I mean, everyone...
It was just like, it's all one thing together now.
Yeah, you know, it was like, there's no boundary between it, you know? And when you're, like, someone who, like, for me, like, I overwork sometimes, and I'm just like, if it's there, I'm going to do it, you know?
It's, oh, no.
Yeah. So eventually I knew I had to figure out another option for me, just so that, like, I can reclaim my home as, like, my home, you know, because it's a sacred space, you know? Like, it's a place where you relax and a place where you take care of yourself.
You separate, you know? Yeah. It's what we need. Mm-hmm. I definitely felt that after... going on this week-long road trip and just being extroverted for so many days in a row really took it out of me. And I was like, damn, I just need to, like, lock myself in a room for a day and be alone and recharge that energy.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a place to restore ourselves. Yeah.
So you're at home. You get too big to be at home, which is, sounds like it's a good problem to have, right?
Cause yeah. Now,
What were you thinking when you started realizing, damn, I gotta get this stuff out of here?
I mean, what I was thinking was, like, what is happening? Because I was, like, you know, things were happening, like, fast. And I was just, like, kind of, like, scrambling. I was, like, I need to figure out something else. And so at that point, I was, like, looking for, like, warehouse spaces, even storages, and like I realized that, like, you know, everything is a lot, you know.
Yeah.
And so preferably I wanted to have something that was close by and also something that, like, where I can work out of and I can have my storage space. And where I, like, was looking was, like, kind of close to home, and something became available. There was the Zumba studio, like, that was here for less than a year, and, you know, it sucks, you know, when you see, like, a business go come and then leave. And I remember that space was, like, exactly where I would have wanted to be at, you know, because it was here in City Terrace.
Yeah.
And because there's a coffee shop here that I love to go to, and there's, like, next to Barrio and, like, all the murals.
Yeah, so it's community. Yeah.
There's so much. Yeah, it was so beautiful. So I remember when I first got interested in, like, even inquiring about it, I had called the Zumba folks because their signs were still up. And I was like, let me find out, like, que pasó, like, maybe something happened with the landlord. Like, they have a shitty landlord and they had to leave or something. Yeah. So I called them up, and they were like, oh, mija, they're like, vendes Herbalife? And I was just like, no. And they're like, oh, okay, pues te va a ir bien, yeah, because ahí no se viene eso.
Man, that sucks. They got stuck with all that Herbalife.
I know, and yeah, but thankfully they told me they had already opened somewhere new. So I was like, good for you, you know? And so that's when I looked at the space, and it looked like a Halloween store, you know? It was because it was, like, black and orange and
different colors, yeah.
Green, and it looked something completely different. There was, like, mirrors on the walls. It was just a whole different space. And I remember, like, the landlord even was like, I don't do anything. I just rent the space.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. And I showed it to, like, my family, and they were like, are you sure?
There's That's, like, a big investment. Yeah.
Yeah. And they were just like, that's a lot of work. Like, you know, it's going to take some time. But I was like, I couldn't, like, pass it up because I felt it too strongly, you know? And I also was like, if I don't do this, I was like, I'm not going to be left with a lot of options with what I can, like, where I can, like, move my workspace to. And also, I would probably, like, feel like, man, like, I wish I would have done it. And I did not.
Oh, that regret.
Yeah, I didn't want to have that feeling. I was like, let me, déjame rifarla. And then, like, and have, like, a lot of, like, faith, you know, because I felt like things were aligning really well for me and leading up to this. And I was like, I could limit myself, and, like, it will only expand to this small capacity.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I take, like, this little risk.
I think it's a big risk.
Yes. You're right. No, you're right.
It's a bigger risk.
It's a big risk. And yeah, and so far it's been really, like, it feels really rewarding to just even be right here where we are now.
Yeah,
like, the space has been transformed, and the whole journey has been, like, you know, like, just, it feels really reassuring that things are going well. And even the way that the community has received this space.
Yeah.
I remember during the City Terrace Art Walk, that was like the first time that people were able to like even just come into the space because there was like art from like local artists.
Yeah, you opened up your doors for folks to hang their art.
Yeah, because there was nothing in here, you know, at that point. It was in the summer. And so I got connected with the Art Walk, and I just let them know that they could use the space as a as display.
Hell yeah.
And so
it's like, I got white walls. Yeah. Y'all bring the nails and the hammer.
So at that time, people were able to, like, see inside and then also get to know me because I was also, a vendor right outside. And they were, first of all, really happy to see, you know, a brown femme mujer, like...
Get it, girl boss.
Oh, Lord. you know, because they were, like, also, like, who is the person behind this?
Yeah.
You know, it could be concerning when you don't know, like... Who are the people behind these new spaces? Could have been that
you're the one that's working the booth, but maybe some gringa, you know,
yes.
Making all the moves behind.
Yeah, people here are sensitive to that. So it was, like, really important for me to be there at that community event because I was able to meet so many neighbors. I mean, so many neighbors. There was, like, thousands of people that were able to come by that day. And because the streets were, like, closed and I just was receiving so much good energy from everyone, like muchas porras and like a lot of like support and just like good vibes. And I knew that like it was right, you know, because people were like receptive, like all types of neighbors, you know, people who have been here for generations and people who have just recently like bought their first home, you know. So
City Terrace has been like in the last couple of years been a lot of that.
Yes,
a lot of first-time homeowners.
Yeah, it has been, and it's I could see the landscape changing from like the past you know decade that I've been around here.
All of a sudden there's another coffee shop down on Wabash.
yeah and there's like you know, like there's the landscape's changing too. So I wanted to make sure that I was still like a reflection of the neighborhood as well. Yeah.
Hell yeah. So with the Art Walk and you know, having your first instance of meeting folks, what was some of the reactions you were getting from folks from the things that you were offering for sale, from the candles, the lotions, the rollers?
Yeah, so people were able to see like all the things that I create.
See and smell.
Yeah, and test out everything. And, you know, everything, they love to try everything out. And a lot of the things that I create are things that, like, you know, we grew up with, like, arnica pomadas, you know, like, those are things that, like, people are familiar with.
Yeah.
And it's helped us out, you know, whenever we have, like, pain. It's something that abuelitas would use. So
think of like tiger balm, right, for your joints.
Exactly.
And like sore muscles.
Yeah. And I remember like people would, there's some people that are just like candle, like they need candles. And
I know some of those people.
Yeah. And so there's people that were visiting the like my table who were coming like that. Then there's people who are like, huh, like I may buy a candle. I'm not sure. How much is it? You know? And so, and these are like, you know, older folks who probably are like, oh, like, I could buy this or I can buy that, you know, like income is definitely like it's a limited thing, especially like, you know, as we get older. And so I remember one of the señoras coming by and she was so happy to see it. She was like giving me so much like good advice and like supporting. And then she's like, oh, she's like, lo único que te consejo es que está carito. Para así como nosotras. And then I was like, oh, no, of course. Yeah, like, thank you so much for letting me know because that, to me, is, like, valuable information, especially because, like, this is the community that I'm opening up the space. These are, like, the neighbors that, like, you know, walk by here. And so, like, I was like, how can I still be a reflection of the neighborhood, you know?
Yeah.
And so that really got me to thinking, and I was like, what can I do and offer here in the space that is still accessible to the community I'm in? So I was like thinking like, having like a section that's like $10 or less, you know, for gifts, you know, especially now that the holiday season's coming up, like being able to like find little like gifts that you can get to several folks and like still do it on a budget, you know, because some of the things that I do offer, you know, because of sustainability and because of the like ingredients that I use and like the handmade quality to it.
Handmade mostly by you, no?
Yes, yeah. Mostly by me and also my like my sisters who come and help me and my friends.
Dope, hell yeah. Yeah.
So it's a collective effort, you know. This is not just me from the ground up, you know. It's a whole like circle of community that has been able to like
that's awesome.
Also come and apoyar. So yeah, it's kind of like the feeling that when someone goes into a Target, there's like that $5 or less, you know, you're like, I want to see everything. But there's also going to be, you know, a lot of other like local artists that I'm going to be featuring here in the space as well. And like other makers and artisans that I have community with and friends with.
Yeah.
Because I have a space and I want to be able to offer, you know, the platform and just, you know, for more people to be elevated and known and like, and so people can connect with all these other makers as well. Too.
Yeah. Cause there's so many folks that have had a very similar journey, right? It's something started as a passion project, something that you wanted to learn. And over time it just kept growing and growing and growing. And like, you know, the person that comes to mind is Andy from Latinx with Plants, yes. Right? You know, it wasn't something like, damn, I'm going to be out here, like, doing all these things. Like, nah, I really enjoy that. And it just blew up.
Yes. So. Yeah. It's true, you know? It's, like, those things that, like, you start to, like, enjoy and you're, like, already, like, you heavily are involved with. It's, like, and you already kind of bring, like, your previous, like, life experiences and the community, like, at the forefront. Like,
yep.
You can take things, you know, to a whole nother level.
And, yeah.
Definitely Andy's someone who I admire and I have been able to support and collaborate with, you know, so
love to see it.
I do. Yes. And for me, it's like the more collaborations, the more ways that we can work together or just like connect with like other small business owners or like makers. It's really, at the end of the day, like, those are your comrades, because the small business journey can feel lonely sometimes if you're, like, you don't have coworkers, you know, like, you're the only one
creating. There's no water cooler talk. You got to bring your own birthday cake.
Yes. And so, but when you have, like, this community of folks, and I definitely always, like, let people know who ask me sometimes for advice, it's like, what, like, and I always am willing to share, you know, because I feel like sometimes it's like, you know, if you can give someone a paro, like, might as well.
Yeah.
And so when I have, like, all of these, like, pláticas with, like, other small business owners, I'm like, yo, like, we are experiencing similar things and we can help each other, like, troubleshoot some things that maybe you're already at this level or you're already, like, at this place ahead of, and then, but we can learn from each other. And, like, that's always been one of my biggest values is, like, you know, community and being able to kind of, like, hold that space where, like, we can support, you know, other creators, you know, because there's enough for everyone to sit at the table.
Oh, hell yeah. And if there isn't, we'll just make the table bigger.
Yes. Fácil.
With that being said, what are some of the products? What are some of the things that you make here?
Yes, my biggest process and my biggest like offering here are candles. I mean, you can see like it's all over. It's
a lot of wax.
Yes.
I saw that these are soy candles.
Yes, they're soy wax candles. So it's derived from plants. It's a natural. And a very non-toxic burning type of wax.
Yeah, because so I was going to ask, like, what's the difference between this here at the shop and what I would be, like, I guess, get at, like, a general store or something.
Yeah, so the difference is that, like, these candles are made very specifically with a type of wax that doesn't like have any chemicals in it, and like so and it's derived from nature, and soy is like a very like easily like renewable source, so it's something that I like to work with. It's also like it burns slower as well, so it's a clean burning candle. And then some of the things that I like to infuse it with can be like essential and fragrance oils that really capture the smell really nice. So when you burn it, you don't even have to burn it for that long because it can like make your room or your space smell really fast.
Yeah. I mean, that speaks to the quality of the products you're using to make it, right? Mm-hmm. And your craftsmanship. I mean, you've been doing this how long now?
It's going to be 3.5 years.
Yeah. Practice makes perfect. I can only imagine how many candles you made at this point.
I mean, like, when I think about, I was just thinking about that earlier. I was like, how many candles did I make this year? And I'm like, probably like in the thousands.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
So was it hard to, well, I guess like a two-part question. Is it hard to source these materials that you are specifically looking to use? And the same for the equipment. Is equipment like easy to find? Is it hard to find? Did you have to make it yourself?
Yeah, so the equipment has changed over time. Like, because when I was at different levels of the candle making, and the materials that I had to source had to come from like different places because I needed to like be able to hand select like quality ingredients. So a lot of it was like trial and error.
Okay,
and most of the work I did researching was done online and just like trying out. Most of the things that I buy are locally sourced as well. So a lot of like the wax, and even just like wicks and things that like are just all part of like what creates a candle. Bottles as well, the jars.
I imagine it's a different kind of bottle too, the glass, right?
Yeah, it's a different type of glass. I learned that the hard way, you know, when I was when I was giving those gifts to my friends and family, you know, they were like my trial like folks. They were like, you can't use that glass.
Oh.
Yeah, but at this point, you know, like you kind of like narrow it down to like what works best.
Yeah, and then of course aesthetically too.
Exactly. Like the design that you want to create with, you know, the candle as well. And so like what it is now has also come from a lot of testing too, because what a lot of people don't know is that when you create a candle, you have to test the wick. You have to test like the percentage of the oils that you, like the scents that you're using. You have to find the right percentage to use. And also like the type of wax that works best for what you're going to make.
Because sometimes maybe the wax and the oils won't vibe.
Yeah. And you're like not using enough. So a lot of it's testing too. It's kind of like, you know, it could be that's like work and like experimenting. So it's kind of like you're in a lab, you know, because you're trying to find these right ratios.
Yeah. So I see, because I see a scale. I was like, yep, you're out here being precise with things.
Yeah, there's a heat gun too. Those are like my two main like. That's my little problem solver right there.
Yeah. Is that process the same or different when you are working on the different scents you were trying to create?
Yeah. So anytime I want to create like new scents, I'm usually inspired by just scents that like are natural or like just things that you can find in nature.
Yeah, I was like really smelling that birch wood candle.
Oh yeah. And there's so many different scents that folks like can find, you know. Like
I tend to gravitate toward like earthy flavors, earthy smells a lot.
Me too. Yeah. I love earthy scents and anything that's like woodsy.
Mm-hmm.
And those kind of scents are very grounding, you know. And And so I like to create things that are either very earthy, herbal, or woodsy, smoky.
Aromatic, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes I have also candles that are like sweet and floral, but a lot of them are like using natural elements, yeah. You know, so it would be like a blackberry chamomile kind of scent. Then there'll be like a very like herbal one, which would be like a lavender eucalyptus, and Oof. It smells like a fresh shower.
Yeah.
So I like to work with elements that I'm like, oh, like these are things that people are familiar with. You know, you can connect an ingredient to like that smell. You
yes.
know?
One of those things for me is that connection with the smell is the smell of dirt.
Yes.
After rain.
Oh my gosh. I found, you know, I just created a candle that captures that exact smell.
Research and development over here.
Yes, but like the smell of wet earth, like la tierra mojada, like scent is just so nice. You know, there's something like I feel almost like ancestral at that point. You know,
because
there's something reminiscent of it. You know, maybe like where the land's like
a deep connection to it for sure.
So there's something in the works for that, yeah. and also like getting feedback from like family, you know, they'll be like, oh, like what about something like this or something like that? And so sometimes it's just like simple ingredients that we grew up with, like romero, you know.
Yeah.
And having a candle that could smell something like that.
Yeah. Do you ever take requests from folks like oh, it would be dope if you incorporated this or that.
I feel like if I took every request, I'd probably have like 1,000 candles Oof. Of different scents.
Yeah.
But I like to, like I said, like do the research and hand select the right ingredients and then create the right ratio for that specific candle. So it does take some moment of development, but what I do like to do is like kind of brainstorm it.
Yeah.
I'll brainstorm it and then see that if it works together, you know, like the scents have to work together. But yeah, I like to take that feedback as well. But I do custom candles as well.
Oh.
Yeah, I was able to, that's how I started working with like, well, Latinx with Plants. I created a candle, a custom one for them. And then also I had created a candle for another friend's shop called Flor de Luna.
Oh,
it was in Boyle Heights.
Yeah.
And so I do like to create custom ones. And there was one that I created that smelled like records or just like vinyl.
Oh, wow.
Like that smell that you get from like, because like it's kind of woodsy, that scent.
Yeah, I know what you're like, smelling ink from a book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I created that one for a record store, Midnight Record. Yeah, and so they were able to have something like that.
Wow, see now with you saying that, I think this might be become a scratch and listen, a sniff and listen podcast. Because, like, the idea is, like, just kind of tripping me out that, right, that we can work together and somehow we can make a candle that reflects this podcast. And I'm like, what would that smell like?
Like, what does this podcast smell like?
What does it smell like? Right, and as people listen to the show, they can light the candle.
Oh my gosh, that is like a whole nother like level of experiencing podcasts.
Yeah,
sure.
See,
yeah.
I'm ahead of these white people.
Yes,
and you know it's in the spirit of what you've done with other folks in collaboration,
yeah.
Right? Working together, really just vibing off each other and sharing what we have with each other. Because like we were talking before we started recording. That's the same energy I want to bring to this show,
mm-hmm.
Right? That as much as I like to hear myself speak, I'd rather have other folks share their story and to be able to uplift that and to share that with folks who probably never met you, right?
Yeah.
Never heard of Earthy Corazon. But hopefully after listening to this show, they will be part of the self-care industrial complex. And be like, what's up with that candle?
Yeah, like That's the whole, like, you know, vibe that, you know, I feel like we connected with, is that, like, we're able to connect with people, you know, and and also, like, and be of service, you know, because I like to be able to kind of offer, like, that, like, good, peaceful energy into someone's home, even if I haven't even met them. I'm just, like, I kind of look at my candles like a little, like, a light that I'm offering.
Ambassadors.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, go do good in this world. And then.
Yeah, no. For all my critiques of, you know, self-care becoming kind of stereotypical and oversaturated and all these things mm-hmm. that we can easily criticize about it, right? It's still something that folks participate in, that they look for, that they want in their lives. So, like so many other things in my life, I'm happy that now there is somebody that I can go to and be like, oh, shit, that's what you're looking for? Like, yes. Go check out LA Shop and City Terrace, you know, go get a coffee next door.
Yeah.
Walk in, see what they have. They probably might have something you're looking for. So that intention of we live in a capitalist society. We are totally. Going to participate in things by choice, whether we want to or not.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody starts making, like, you know, free trade organic calzones, hit me up. I'm tired of giving Hanes my money. But, right, for the time being, as more and more folks start looking within themselves and start following those ideas, those dreams, or those energies of, like, I'm really good at this, or I really love this, and I'm going to put it out there for other folks to share it with,
mm-hmm.
then you have my attention. So yeah. Everything from coffee, food, clothing. If somebody started making, you know, organic technology, I would buy it.
Non-GMO.
Yeah, you know, it won't be the best phone, but it'll be free, you know, conscious free, whatever.
No, yeah, I'm really happy to be doing this kind of work, because like the. At the end of the day, I feel like I'm creating something beautiful in, like, the community, like, the neighborhood that I'm in.
Yeah, you want to stay here. You want to support it, right?
Yeah.
You had that conversation with the señora that made you reflect. And I was like, oh, shit, maybe I do need to, like,
make it
figure
accessible.
Something out. Yeah.
And problem solve through that. And then just being able to, like, host a space where, like, I can,
yes.
like, work with other, like, friends or, like, folks who want to host, like, have workshops. They have been just, like, the possibilities are kind of endless when it comes to that. So, yeah, it feels really nice.
That's beautiful. Yeah, you're already doing more than what most businesses do when they open up in their community, which is, like, just open up and hope people walk in and buy their stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
So, speaking of... I got to see the place. Again, it smells beautiful. It also looks amazing. Very inviting, very colorful.
Yeah.
And I got to see the back as well, which is just kind of white.
it's a bodega.
Yeah, it is what it is. Its purpose is for working
yeah.
and for creation. But when is the official public opening for the shop for folks to come visit?
Yeah, so the official opening a day is going to be next Saturday. So it's going to be Saturday, November 26th, which is the day after Black Friday.
Community Saturday or something like that? Yeah, Small Business Saturday.
It's Small Business Saturday. So that's going to be the opening date for the space. And I'm inviting folks to come out. It's going to be open that weekend. It's going to launch, and I'll have regular store hours after that so people can come and check it out. And, you know, there's a lot of cute things. Even if you don't, like, you know, like candles, there's, like, a photo booth in here that my friend was able to put in here. There's also, like, a mirror that my friend hand-painted that you can take a selfie
it's
on.
It's really dope.
I know. And there's going to be, like, other artwork and prints that are also going to be available here in ceramics. So, you know, there's all these little cositas that are also made by other makers here that I, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been finding in life as I'm getting older that I have such a great appreciation for having, you know, things like that in my home, mm-hmm. right, that are handmade. They have intention behind them. It's not just... this thing that was mass produced and serves a single purpose.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you get to support somebody, you know, doing their craft, and you get something awesome in return as well.
Yeah.
So where can folks find that once, you know, you open up and you have regular business hours, where can they find you?
Yeah, they can find me on Instagram at Earthy Corazon. I also have a website, earthycorazon.com, which, you know, folks can visit during this holiday season because it's crazy out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stay sane.
Don't expect gifts from me, y'all.
And then also you can find me here in City Terrace. The address is 4015 City Terrace Drive.
Hey, right next to La Teresa, you won't get lost.
Yeah.
So with that being said, do you have any shout outs for folks? You already mentioned your family, your friends.
Yeah.
You know, they come through and help you get this work done.
My sisters. I mean, this has been like all like collective work with my sisters. And we've all been able to like collectively dream here, you know, because as the first one in my family.
Like, are you the oldest?
I'm the oldest.
Oh, too. Hey, I'm the oldest too.
I feel for you.
Well, I'm the oldest. Only guy and three younger sisters.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm the oldest of two younger sisters. Yeah. So we have similar siblings. And so it felt really like important, you know, to be able to share this with them as well. And so like we've all been able to kind of work together, and big shout out to my mom for holding it down as well. You know, she'll come from like a grocery store background, and then she'll come over, you know, to help me out. I want to give a special shout out to all my friends who have helped me like get here where I'm at now as well. And then also to Tiff, just for connecting us.
I have so many random conversations with them, and it astounds me to this day when they'll talk about somebody and be like, wait, I know them too. But like, I mean, I don't understand how Tiff and I have been around each other for so long but never met.
Yeah.
It's weird.
That is weird. Yeah, cuz like, you know, it just happens here in LA like that though.
Yeah.
Like everyone's like 1 degree apart from all knowing each other.
Exactly. It's a little pueblo out here.
It is.
But thank you again, Ellie, for inviting me, for taking the time to talk about your journey with the shop. For sure, I don't even want to wait till you're open. I want to ask right now if I could just like grab a couple of things and pay you or Venmo you or something.
For sure. No, browse all you want. You can just hang out here and chill, you know, like.
Thank you. But yeah, folks, keep an eye out for the grand opening. For sure, I'll be sharing it on my social media when you do open and helping spread the word. So thanks again for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me. I feel so honored. Thank you, Eric.
Yeah, and this is also your first podcast interview.
This is my first podcast interview. I was like super nervous.
Well, hopefully this is the first of many more to come, so folks can learn about what you're doing. So thanks, y'all, for listening. This has been Orale Bo Heights.